Hello, welcome to the Higher Education Researcher. This is a podcast by the Center for Higher Education Research and Evaluation at Lancaster University. My name is Olga Rotter, and my guest today is John MacArthur. John is a senior lecturer at the Educational Research Department at Lancaster University. She is also an editor of a journal, Arts and Humanities in Higher Education. Welcome and thank you very much for coming, John.
Thank you.
John is a prominent researcher in the area of assessment and social justice. Today we will focus on her latest book chapter, Assessment for Social Justice, Achievement, Uncertainty, and Recognition. John advocates a philosophical reinterpretation of the role that assessment can play in furthering greater social justice within and throughout higher education. She argues that assessment is a powerful force in shaping how and what students learn. John, you raise very important issues in your research. I would like to start our discussion with a question. What is social justice? What are the theoretical foundations of it?
Gosh, that's a very important question, and it's also very complex. Some people treat social justice in fairly simple terms, i.e. it's treating everyone the same or being kind to people. But conceptually, such simple approaches don't really help us to do much with them. They are not useful for either research or practice. So a large part of my work argues that we have to robustly theorize social justice in order for it to be conceptually useful and to understand the world we live in and to effect change. I oppose purely procedural views of social justice, such as those of John Rawls, who's very famous in this area, which suggests that if we get the right procedures in place, then we can be assured of just outcomes. And this view of justice is very strong in everyday society, and particularly in our approaches to the assessment of student work, where there's a lot of focus on rules and regulation. But in contrast, I turn to critical theory for a more complex understanding of social justice. And here it is multifaceted and begins with how we recognize the individual integrity of one another as human beings, through to how we exercise common rights, and then on to how we base our principles of achievement in terms of the mutual connection between our own well-being and the well-being of others. We cannot be fulfilled as individuals if others are not able to lead fulfilling lives. Mm-hmm. But critical theory also puts a lot of emphasis on hidden forms of oppression. So it's not just the obvious things in society or education, but sometimes taken for granted practices that can actually carry very unjust practices within them.
Thank you very much for this explanation, John. It might be obvious that education per se and access to education are key to social justice. But at the first glance, it's not so obvious that assessment is also part of this. How do you relate assessment and social justice?
Okay, so I do this in three ways. First, my concept of assessment for social justice is a play on words of the more familiar idea of assessment for learning, in which we understand that assessment is key in shaping how and what students learn. And there's been an awful lot of research done on this. So it seems to me that if assessment shapes students' learning, and if we are committed to social justice, then assessment is going to shape those social justice outcomes or possibilities. Secondly, I think we need to challenge the procedural view of just assessment and rethink the foundations of why and how we assess student achievement. And then finally, to put those two points combined leads me back to critical theory and the interrelationship between individual and social well-being. In order for students to lead fulfilling lives, we must support them to see how their engagement with knowledge affects other people. The technical know-how of building a bridge is only part of the required knowledge. We need to put that in a social context. What does the community want? How will this bridge affect community relations? How will it affect ease of passage between communities? So this point may not relate directly to the smaller building blocks of disciplinary knowledge, but when we look at larger assignments, projects, or capstone work, is the student supported to see their work in a social context? Because a social perspective isn't some add-on, it's embedded. You don't develop completely disarticulated disciplinary knowledge and then add on this later. Because, you know, how would you judge when you add it on? So we need to see the social significance as embedded in the engagement with knowledge and how we assess it.
So what problems do you see in the relation between social justice and existing assessment practices?
Okay, I could talk at length on this, but I'll try not to. I think in summary, current practices are too instrumental. And by this I mean that they are too governed by what works easiest administratively rather than a focus on how we nurture and record student achievement and how we support that achievement to help make society better. I have a saying which equally amuses and annoys my colleagues, which is, assessment is a glorious celebration of student achievement. But when it's 3 a.m. in the morning and you still have a pile of undergraduate scripts to get through to meet a rigid deadline and you are getting neither pay nor workload recognition for what you are doing, it just doesn't feel glorious or celebratory. So the broader problem is that we simply sometimes do assessment really badly in higher education. And yet, given how much it matters, this is a very large problem. In some universities, senior academic staff avoid assessment, even on courses they teach on, and outsource it to often unpaid or poorly paid graduate teaching assistants who are told they should be grateful for the experience and yet given little support. And those who do assessment rarely have any proper or comprehensive opportunities to develop their assessment abilities. And we know from research that good assessment is something you develop over time, like any other professional practice. Why don't we have new staff shadow someone assessing a course before we ask them to assess? And then they should have an assessment mentor to develop the craft as they go. And the real scandal, which I'll end on, is how little time people have to assess work, particularly on undergraduate programs. Now, in some places, I know, a 2,000-word essay may be formally allocated 10 minutes for grading. But that is absurd and it's disrespectful. And it either means that we are assessing very poorly or that staff do many hours of unpaid, voluntary, but compulsory work for their university. And we're simply not treating student work with respect when we assess under these conditions.
Thank you, Jan. Those are very important issues indeed. And we can talk about it later when we will be discussing your study. In the chapter we discussed today, you draw on preliminary data from a longitudinal ongoing project on understanding knowledge, curriculum, and student agency. Could you please tell us a little bit about this project?
This is a wonderful project, which it's a real privilege to be part of. It is both longitudinal and comparative, so it's based in 3 different countries, 2 institutions in each country, and in each of those institutions, we're looking at both chemistry and chemical engineering. We're interviewing a large number of students, or we have interviewed, and then a certain number of these are then followed through for 4 years wherever they go. So even if they change course, we follow them to see why they have done that. It's a very broad project with many dimensions, including engagement with knowledge, study approaches, personal development, and orientations to society. And the reason we chose chemistry and chemical engineering is that in this sort of teaching and learning respect, they're relatively under-researched compared with other disciplines. And they stand out by, in Bigland's terms, if you know Bigland's, you know, pure applied, these are also called non-life disciplines. So that's what they have in common, and then one is supposedly pure and one is applied. But the really funny thing is when the head of the project went out to talk to departments to ask them to take part and explained why we were doing this, and he said, well, we're looking at you because, you know, chemistry is a non-life discipline. And they would say, what do you mean? Chemistry is at the heart of life, you know. So that's the logic, but it's really interesting as part of the project. It's been challenged, and I've found it amazing how much I've learned about teaching and learning and assessment broadly from looking at these 2 very particular disciplines.
Thanks. That's very interesting, Jan. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. May I ask you to summarize what is the chapter we are discussing about and what are its main findings?
Okay, so my chapter is really just a little sliver of what we've looked at. And in fact, it's only based on the first year UK data because the project began at different times in the different countries. I should have said, I apologize, that it's the UK, South Africa and USA are the 3 countries. So what I've looked at in my chapter is trying to get some preliminary sense of the different ways that students identify their own achievement, their own sense of achievement, when they undertake assessment tasks. It's common today with talk of students as consumers, which is a very contested notion though, but it's common to assume that students are very grade conscious. And this may be true in some ways, but our results show that very few students associate the purpose or outcome of assessment purely with a mark. And for me, that is great news. It's very encouraging to learn that. What we found was that there's a really strong connection in most of these students between assessment and developing disciplinary knowledge. They really value the acquisition of disciplinary knowledge. And beyond this, many also value applying this disciplinary knowledge, being it in a chemistry lab or solving a chemical engineering problem. So there was quite a positive link between assessment and strengthening disciplinary knowledge. And this resonates with what the Assessment for Learning research has been telling us.
Thank you very much, Jan. Jan, you propose a spectrum of different ways in which students associate their assessment with achievement. What are these ways and how they are relevant for the students' esteem recognition you're talking about in your book chapter?
Okay, so esteem recognition is an important part of how I theorize social justice, and it is drawn from third-generation critical theorist Axel Honneth. Esteem recognition is an essential part of civic and broader social membership. It is about having the opportunities to develop skills, knowledge, and dispositions which make a useful contribution to society. But useful here is defined very broadly, not instrumentally. So beautiful music is useful in the sense that it brings joy. Honneth's work here is based on the critical theory interrelationship between individual and social well-being. So the spectrum builds up from the very simple idea of achievement as simply a grade. I've got an A, that's my achievement, not what it represents, anything, I've just got an A. To then those who see achievement as engagement with knowledge, to those who see it with engagement with knowledge and then the application of that knowledge, to those who see it as engagement, application, and are thinking about the future application in society, and then finally, those who are thinking about the future application of knowledge in society for the social good. And a critical theory approach to assessment and social justice suggests that somewhere in a student's assessment experiences, and I certainly don't mean everywhere, they should have the opportunity to achieve that highest level of achievement because this is at the heart of their own esteem recognition. To be fully fulfilled human beings is to see oneself as contributing to society and to be recognized for that by others.
Could you please give us an example of the type of assessment that can nurture students' esteem recognition and also mention the challenges in its implementation?
Okay, so I'll give an example from the chapter. In the first year, some engineering students who do a general first year engineering course had an assignment to develop an alternative transport system between the local town and their university campus. The reason for doing this was to come up with an environmentally better alternative to cars and buses, which are heavy pollutants. Built into the assignment rationale was a strong sense of not just usefulness in an instrumental way, but using their disciplinary knowledge to help improve society and increase environmental and social justice. So that's all really positive. But to be honest, the challenge of actually following this through in a busy curriculum is quite difficult. So while that's the context in which the assignment was set, it's a lot harder to actually spend a lot of time talking with students and giving them resources to really weigh up environmental and social justice concerns. But I think this is a really good beginning, and it ensures that students and our future professionals never disarticulate their disciplinary knowledge from its social impact. And we've seen that now across the project in the other countries and years, which aren't reported on in my chapter. So, for example, environmental issues play an important role in chemical engineering. But what I've been really keen to explore is, are they there in that instrumental way, i.e. we have to tick a box on the form that the government requires us to do in order to manufacture this substance? Or is it there as a moral role, a role in making decisions about resources and products and how these affect broader society. So that's the big challenge to get to that point.
Thank you very much for your expert opinion, John. As you say, it's not an easy job indeed, and it takes a real consideration of the role of higher education institutions. I want to finish our discussion with a big punch. What would be your main advice on how to design student assessment?
Okay, so I think we have to start with thinking about who our students are and what is the purpose of assessment. What is the assessment meant to achieve in terms of the broader goals of the students' learning, their degree, and future professional practice? Far too often, we start with an assumption of a certain assessment method, such as an exam. We have an exam because we've always had an exam. But rather, what we have to do is start with the purpose and then find the method that best fits it. Just as researchers, we all know that it's very wrong to start a research project with a method and then fit it onto whatever you're researching. You have your research questions and you look for the method that will best explore them. Assessment is just the same. And using an exam just because that's what has always happened is both pedagogically and ethically unsound. And I really want to send out a strong message that people should not accept that you cannot change institutional assessment policy. There's a real belief that this is the one area of academic practice we can't have a say in. And that's just not empirically true. People have successfully reformed assessment. We need to try. And the other thing is, beware of phantom assessment regulations. The number of times in a meeting someone will say, oh, we cannot do that as the regulations won't allow it. And there are far more assessment regulations quoted in the average university than have ever actually existed. So let's not let that stop us thinking and putting the student and the purpose first. And then lastly, I'll end with this point, that we should professionalise our approach to assessment. We should ensure proper time and proper opportunities to learn how and why we assess. For something that is so important, we squeeze it into a little corner of practice, and it deserves better. And in this way, assessment itself can be more just, and it can then contribute to broader social justice.
Thank you very much, Jan, for such a positive call, and for the conclusion that we can and should make attempts to change the existing assessment practices. Also, I want to thank you for your time and for the interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to hear more about your project, how it's developing and evolving, and maybe we'll see you here in the future.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Olga. It was lovely to talk with you.
It was Jan MacArthur and the Higher Education Researcher. Have a good day.